TheDigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, show 127, Thursday, 18th October, 2007. Great to have tech.co.uk sponsoring the show, so please check out the link in the show notes and have a look at their site. And this week on the show, German Media Center developer Olcay Bayan from mcdev.com joins me to talk about his Media Center applications, including TV Toolbox, which is a great application for editing and converting recorded TV files directly from Vista Media Center. Olcay also talks about his other Media Center applications, including MCE Customizer. I have email, news items, and update on the Media Centre Show Awards. Welcome to the show. Just back from the dentist, so hopefully I won't be slurring too much. We'll get straight on with the email. And this is from Ricard in Sweden. Hi Ian, I read your blog daily and always listen to the Media Centre Show. It's been a great source of news and knowledge. I live in Sweden and I use Vista Media Centre to watch TV, DVDs, HD DVDs, Blu-ray and live TV. A lot of material from Blu-ray, HD DVD and NTSC DVD and American TV series use refresh rates of 23.97Hz and 24Hz. TV PAL and DVD PAL use 25 or 50Hz. It's a pain to shut down Vista Media Center to change the refresh rates in the graphics driver's control panel all the time. I would love to see Vista Media Center switch the refresh rates to match the frame rate on the material they're watching. I guess you could read the frame rate somewhere in the graph and then use power strip to change them to a matching refresh rate. It's actually the function I miss the most in Vista Media Center. I can't live with the 3x2 judder or mismatch between the source I'm watching and the refresh rate provided for my TV. Have you heard of a solution? Is it possible at all? And also on refresh rates, I had this message in. Hi Ian, I have a post over at the green button where I asked about the availability of 50Hz refresh rates on the Xbox 360 extender in HD. I know you're aware of the issues, you commented it in your show number 108. Sadly, at the time of writing, I had no response to tell me if they're doing something wrong or whether the Xbox 360 does support 50Hz in HD. It's a very basic requirement in video playback that the refresh rate of the display matches the frame rate of the original material. I'm sure the Xbox can physically operate HD at 50Hz, as it does for games, so I think this is probably a software bug in the extender application. It's sad that this has not been fixed after this time. This is a technical issue that is not widely understood. Most people think a faster refresh rate is better, and it's clearly not the case. Cheers, James, and he sent a link to his post on the green button. Well, thanks for the email, James and Ricard. This is an interesting issue, and the more I sort of delve into this, the more I can see the problem is really around the fact that Media Center kind of by default supports all the American standards, and so 60Hz is the refresh rate of the American standard for television, and we've got 50Hz in the UK and other regions around the world. And then when you're viewing a TV program recorded at 50Hz on an Xbox 360 at 60Hz, it looks kind of juddery when you watch it on your nice big LCD TV. Now I must admit, I can see it doing it on my machine, but no one else in the family certainly has noticed. But there is a slight difference in quality and a slight jitteriness when you're watching it through an extender session. So I can understand exactly what Ricard and James are saying. So what I thought I'd do is I'd create a forum post on this to keep this discussion going. So the link for that in the show notes. Is there a workaround? Is there a way of getting Media Center to automatically change the refresh rate for the source content? I can perhaps imagine it being able to do that directly from Media Center, but not from an extender session where the refresh rates and everything is controlled through the Xbox. So I'll be interested to hear anybody's thoughts on that, and whether anybody can answer the question, is this a problem that that needs fixing. And if you've got a solution, let us know. Again, link for that in the show notes. And the email address, if you want to email in the subject, is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. And last week I mentioned about getting into Zune. And I got an email about converting TV files for Zune from Shane Woodward. I read your post about getting into Zune and can't wait for Zune 2.0 for the Media Center TV show. Check out zunetvwatcher.com. This utility will automatically convert the Media Center shows and that can be used on Zune, and will also cut out the commercials. And again, a link for that in the show notes. And I have actually played around with this, and this is a pretty nice application. It watches a folder and just automatically spits out Zune files. I only tried it with one over the weekend, and that worked fine. I set a special folder up because I don't want to convert all my programs, just a selection of those. So I'll report back on how that's working, but I can't wait to see that built into the new Zune 2.0 software. Now a couple of items before we go into the interview. Chris Lanier's details of Life Extender, a new plugin that offers commercial removal in DVR MS recordings. And this aims to be a simple way of recording, removing commercials from TV files, much like DVR MS Toolbox. And the developer says, Life Extender was created because there just weren't any simple commercial removing applications around. Life Extender gives you enough rope to lasso those commercials and not to hang yourself. So link for that in the show note, but it's lifeextender.com, spelled LIFEXTENDER, and you can have a look at that. The nominations for the Media Center Show Awards are open, and you have till the end of October to get your nominations in, and then the vote page will be up in November. And just to remind you of the categories, we've got Best Open Source Media Center Project, Best Free Media Center Application, Best Commercial Media Center Application, Media Center Application Design Award, Best Utility, Best Media Center Community Resource, and Best Media Center Enthusiast Blog. And like I said last week, if there's any categories you think that are missing or should be on there, just let me know via the forums. There's a thread on this, or ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. And thanks to everybody that entered the competition for the One Voice Media Center Communicator Competition. The competition is closed now, and I'll announce the winner on next week's show. Time for a break and a message from One Voice. I'll be right back.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on One Voice's Media Center Communicator, MC Each Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. One Voice offers licenses for MCE speech tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
OJ, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Hi, Aaron.
We're going to be talking today about mcdev.com and the development work you've been doing for Media Center. Yeah. You've been doing some great work in Media Center, and you're based in Frankfurt in Germany.
Yeah, correct. Frankfurt, Germany. I'm a developer for Media Connect, and actually the Microsoft project is a company based in Frankfurt as a developer, specifically for ASP.NET. Projects, table PC based stuff, and pocket PC projects.
So what made you want to get into Media Center development?
I think it was 2003, something like that. I got the first copy of the Media Center and just installed and tried. I had no compatible TV card, so I could just watch videos and listen to some music. So I got into this as a user first, and then started 2004, I guess, the MCE customizer as an external application first. This was the first project and got me into this developer-specific way.
So your first experience with Media Center then, was it through the MSDN program?
Correct, yeah.
It's amazing how many people, especially developers, have got into developing for Media Center through MSDN. I think it was a really good idea to put Media Center on there.
Yeah, great.
And there's a lot of independent developers have sort of grown out of that. I mean, that's how I got into Media Center in the first place as well. And so the application I wanted to talk about today was TV Toolbox, which looks fantastic application for sort of a 10-foot application for editing files and things like that. But we'll come back to that, because you mentioned the application that you worked on first, MC Customizer, and I noticed that's up to version 3 now. So what made you want to start doing that application?
That was in 2004 as an external application. It was simply a Windows Forms application, and I started this because I saw in the registry some entries. I thought I did think about how they influence the Media Center and stuff. And then I just developed the first beta version, then the second, and so on, and then the first final came out. Later on, I developed the HTML application for MCE 2005.
The first version was a HTML application. Latest version is a Media Center markup application. So there must be a big difference to the features that you can offer between the two versions then.
Because, you know, the user experience is much better, and you have the full .NET framework. It's really great.
So talk us through then some of the features MCE Customizer. What kind of things can you do with it?
Yeah, correct. For example, you have in the Vista, for the Vista Media Center, you can set up the mini guide, how long it should show up, and you have different feature tweaks you can't apply on Vista Media Center, which did work on the XP Media Center edition, like you know, that pre and post padding, all such stuff. There are a lot of changes. Yeah, actually, you can. It's categorized in different things, like tweaks for the EPG and specifically for the recording stuff. Like, you can set up how the recordings will be, the file names will be created. Like, you can set it up to that it's first the date, then the title, and, you know, you can configure a lot of stuff, like also the EPG when it should download the guide data. You know, a lot of people wished such a feature to set the time, you know, because, for example, my Media Center wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning and gets the guide data, you know.
Yeah, so if that's in your room and, you know, it's disturbing you, you can set it for another time then.
Yeah, correct, yeah.
And these are settings that you can't sort of easily do directly from Media Center already.
Yeah, the most of them are can set them, so it's, I think 99% of them are just registry entries. And in the first version of MC Customizer, which was the external application, I had also features to change the resources of the you know, the images from the background. You could disable the animation, and but in the HTML application and the now the Windows Media Center presentation layer application, you have more likely all the registry stuff, no more stuff like, you know, updating the resource files and stuff. I have just outsourced those tweaks to MCE Themes, which is the actual application to update the resource files, you know, language strings, background, disable the background animation and stuff.
Right, I see. So you split the sort of the settings on and off and timeouts and things like that into Customizer, and you've got the themes to do the images.
Correct, that
seems a good idea, because I think when I first played with Customizer, it was all in the one application, so I think it probably, for most users, the Customizer would be a pretty powerful application. They wouldn't necessarily need to do the themes, but some people do like that, so I suppose having the two applications is a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at the list of features which are on your website of Customizer, which I'll include links to those in the show notes, but there's some pretty good stuff on there. Like you said, you've got seek bar timeout, a mini guide timeout, and enabled DVD galleries and things like that. It must have took ages to find all these registry settings.
Yeah, you have different sources for those registry entries. So most of them I did find in just simply looking in registry and to the green button or MCE community DE, where users just post those registry entries and tell me what exactly they do. You know, so I could grab them and use.
Yeah, I suppose that's a good way of working in that. The users find out the registry settings and then you can incorporate them straight into your program. Yeah, I mean, there is some really handy switches on there, though, so I'll include a link for that application in the show notes. And it is a nice-looking application as well. I mean, one thing that the difference between sort of the original forms-based one and then onto HTML one is that this does look a nice part of Media Center, and the menus and everything are all done in the sort of Media Center gallery style, which is quite nice. So was it difficult to develop that kind of application or that type of UI?
Yeah, you mean specifically with MCML? Well, you know, you need some time to learn the languages. I mean, MCML is just a new language. You have to learn it, so that takes some time. But the good thing is that you have the .NET framework, the whole .NET framework. Man, it's so powerful. And yes, Media Center presentation applications have all that navigation stuff and included. I don't have to just begin from the start, from zero. I have all that included already in the presentation layer, so that makes a lot of the stuff easier for you. So very, very great. Yeah.
I mean, I noticed the one thing, the way that you kind of categorize the different the registry settings all together. You know, you've got like an appearance setting and an EPG gallery and a record, and it looks very much like the different ways of viewing media in the music section in Media Center. So I like the way that you sort of copied that theme and made it applicable to the settings.
Actually Neil Günzberg from MobileWare helped me there a lot, and I do a lot of exchange of information and talk with him a lot, so he actually helped me doing that. So he's doing a great job, so I just use the same way he did.
That's good to know that the sort of the developer community is helping each other out, and that's one thing I like about the Media Center community, is that they do help each other out.
Yeah, sure. Especially if you have to start from nothing, and it's good to have a source which helps out or explains to you, okay, you can do it like this. And which is, for example, on which is also useful is the website, the forum from Microsoft. I think Charlie Owen started it.
The Media Center Sandbox.
Yeah, Media Center Sandbox. You have people from Microsoft there, especially Charlie or Aaron, also Andy Neil. Yeah.
MC Themes, that's not one that's available yet. Is that a new product that you're working on?
Yeah, it was available. I have just removed it for, I think, one or 2 weeks ago. Different reasons. I mean, I don't want the support anymore, and maybe there will be a redesigned version of it later on. Right now you can check out Media Center FX, which does also a great job. I would really recommend to use that application while there's no MC themes out.
Oh, I see. So it's an application you've had around for a while, and you don't want to support it at the moment anyway. I mean, yeah, of the two, I can see MC Customizer being the most used, because those little tweaks and settings are the things that make Media Center really work for you, and sort of most people are happy with the look and feel of Media Center. It's just the little settings that make it optimized for you that are probably the things that you want to change, and not everybody wants to dive into the registry.
Yeah, correct. Also, you don't have to leave the Media Center, you know, to set up the tweaks, and it's really handy. And you can. You don't have to leave it and the Media Center, and most of the users don't want to stick around the registry without knowing what exactly it does, and will it crash now, and will it be, you know, a lot easier for the people.
So that's one of the first application I want to talk about. The next one that I wanted to talk about is MC Query. Now, anybody that likes to tinker with things, and any developers, definitely will be interested to this. So what is MC Query?
MC Query allows you to access the EPG EPG database. You know, you can check out all the entries, which services I have, and which programs are listed, the scheduled entries, and you can just check out how is right now the state in the Media Center, how it uses right now, and what kind of data is in the EPG right now. Some people use it if they update their locals, just use, and well, it's very handy. For example, DVB S users, satellite users, just pick out the services which they don't want to show up in the list of services, and just copy it with Control C and include this list of services in the exclusion list. So it's very handy. You know, you don't have to copy it or write down manually on your own. So you just filter which services you don't want and just copy it and include and paste it in the exclusion list. So Media Center won't bring it up again.
All right. So if you've got sort of loads of satellite channels that aren't applicable to you, it's easier to hide those from the guide then, rather than doing it manually for Media Center.
Yeah, you can also rename services or update different entries in those tables in the database. And yeah, it's just handy. So I don't think that the most of the users use MC Query, but there are a few people who actually think this is really, really handy.
And is it read and write access? So like you said, you can write back to the database.
Yeah, you can just run update statements on it, and it will update in the those information you want to update with just statement in the EPG database.
Right, and can you interact that then with other programs? So I was thinking, if I was going to write some kind of application that wanted to interact with the data, is there any way of sort of using the query program to do that?
Well, I can give you the source. I don't know if you like, if you need some of the code.
Well, I was just thinking that the EPG database is a great source of information, and some developers may not be able to sort of take use of that, but they could probably write SQL select statements and things, so they could use your program as sort of a middle way as a way of accessing the data.
Right now there's no such option, but
anybody's interested in that, they could send you an email and talk to you about that.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is a good, really useful tool, and I must admit, it's not one I've played about with, but I'm going to try this now, because I'm quite interested to see what data's in there and whether I can sort of do some useful stuff with it. So I'll definitely give that a look. And again, that's another download from your website.
Yeah, correct.
So what made you want to write that application?
I just like the TV toolbox. I just did some code to read the data, update the data, and do some research on different things. And at the end, I had MC Query. Yeah? So I thought it's useful. So a few people who are told that I wrote such an application said, oh, it's handy, and why don't make it public? And so I did, and there are a few people who actually use this, and it's not a tool for the mass, but there are still people who actually think it's very handy and use it. Yeah.
Well, it's a tool for the tinkerers who like sort of delving into the system and see what's going on.
Cool. Yeah.
And the other application I wanted to talk about is TV Toolbox. Now, this is the one that looks the most interesting to me of the application that you're doing, just because it kind of does everything that I can think that you want to do. So just first of all, just explain to us, what is TV Toolbox?
Okay, TV Toolbox is a Windows Media Center presentation application which you know, it lists all your recordings, including with a thumbnail and also with metadata. It's very quick, also very fast. If you start it, it's reading all the recordings and shows up them, including all information. And so you can pick one of them and edit. And you know, you can define different segments and video segments, and those who you selected or from that complete video from the original source file will be included in the resulting file. And also you can set different conversion profiles, so you can say, okay, convert this video segment as one complete video to WMV or from a Zoom player, and we'll just cut it and convert that file, the resulting file, to a compatible file for your Zoom player, for example.
Right. See, so you could have a TV file where you've got like your padding at the beginning, at the end. You could trim that out, convert it to a Zoom player and then send it down to your Zoom without the sort of the intros, and I guess you can cut out things like commercials and things as well then.
Yeah, correct. And there are also different options, like you can define rules. For example, if I did record The Simpsons, automatically converted from a Zoom player, or for example, which will come in the next few versions, is like stuff like automatically detection of ads. And actually, I'm working on this, and there are a lot of features coming in next further versions. Yeah.
I mean, one thing that listeners need to do is have a look at some of the screenshots, and they may have seen on the blogs and on your site. But the application is probably one of the first I've seen anyway, of sort of a graphical editor that with the overlay in Media Center, so you can see the TV program that's currently playing, and you've got a transparent overlay of the editing tools on the screen, so it's very visual. And I've not seen an application sort of make use of Media Center like that.
That was really important to me, because I want to reach not only those users, those geeks like me. I want also to reach the ordinary user who actually wants just to use it and, you know, don't disturb the current experience they're making with the Media Center. So that's why it just looks like the Media Center, because I don't have a specific branding or something I have to reproduce. So I thought I would just let it look like the rest of the Media Center.
Mm. I mean, the way that it kind of overlays over the screen for when you're setting your navigation points up and sort your chapter parts, I think it does look really intuitive to use, and it, like you said, it does look as though it's part of Media Center functionality.
Yeah, it looks like the recorded TV page. So and I did want let it look like the recorded TV page, so the users don't have to learn again a new navigation, a new way to browse through the files. So I just designed like the rest of the Media Center, like the recorded TV section. That's right here.
Yeah, but what I was also impressed with is the way that the overlay runs on over the existing video for when you're marking out the points that you want to, you know, start and stop.
Yeah, it's pretty easy with MCML. You can do that. Just define a clip, and it's also powerful. You know, you just see how it overlays, and you can still see the video through how it's transparent and set an alpha value. It's very easy with MCML to do this such effects.
Mm. I mean, one of the other things that I noticed it looks like it does is it's kind of a batch mode. Is that for sort of converting? So you can say, you know, convert all these files to Zune or to Pocket PC or whatever format.
Yeah, sure. You can set a rule. You can say, okay, record all my Simpsons recordings. If the Media Center records, and you can say, okay, as soon as the Media Center recorded the file, you just convert it. Or you can say, okay, convert all my recordings as soon as they are available to a specific format.
Right. So, does that mean then, without actually opening the program up, you can say when a program is recorded of a certain type, automatically convert it, or do you have to say convert the following files? You know, and you pre-select which files you want it to convert.
Yeah, you select which files. You said you can set the keyword, and it will try to match on the recording which was just created. So we'll keep an eye on this and record it as soon as possible.
Right, I see. That's a great idea. And I noticed that you've got things like, you know, different formats in there, like you said, Pocket PC and Zune, WMV, and you can even change the encoding as well, the PAL or NTSC.
Yeah, sure, yeah. You can set all the things in the settings.
That would be a great application, because one of the things that I do when I tend to travel about on business is copy the recorded TV files onto my Samsung Q1, but they tend to be big, and you've still got the commercials and everything else.
Yeah,
this would be a great way of, you know, just doing a bit of trimming, convert it to a smaller WMV, and I could then take a lot more with me on one trip.
Yeah, sure, yeah. It's a lot smaller than the original DVR-MS files, so you can take a lot more with you, so it's a good feature.
Yeah, and that would have been really handy when I was away a few days ago, because I've got, you know, X amount of space on the Q1 free, and, you know, so you end up taking three or four things, but I guess if I convert to WMV, I could take a whole load of stuff.
Yeah, true.
And even better, I guess I could install the TV toolbox on my Q1 and do the editing while I'm travelling, flying about on the plane. I could do all the editing.
Yeah, correct, yeah. I think the visualization of all the buttons and stuff will just work fine on your MPC.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great thing, isn't it? You know, if it's a Vista Media Center application, then it's compatible to whatever you run. I guess the conversion will take a bit longer on a little UMPC.
Yeah, sure.
This is an application I think I've been looking for some time. It's sort of not just the editor that you can edit files in other programs, but to actually have the sort of the Vista Media experience where you're doing the editing is really good. And you know, you can mark the areas and everything else all visually through the screen and then convert to another format. So that really does... I guess a lot of people are going to find that as a useful application.
Yeah. How this all started is also interesting. I never thought about cutting or editing the files or converting them. I just recorded and watched them. So I think 5 or 6 months ago, I got addicted to Dr. House and all that series and CSI and Navy CIS and all that stuff. And then I just thought, okay, I need to cut those files. Because I have so many recordings and I did have to convert or cut the file, cut the ads out. That was the original idea why I realized that very quick that I'm not the only one who actually needs such an application. And there was no application really which has that clean and UI and all the applications were a set of 10,000 of small applications and there was no such an application, so I started to develop a new application, TV Toolbox.
I mean, it lends itself very nicely, I think, the Media Center Market Language for an application like this, that you don't have to resort to going to a desktop PC to do it. You can do it visually through the remote control.
Yeah, correct. And that was very, very important.
Yeah, and the conversion thing as well, I think, is really useful as well, just to have it in a smaller format, like you said, for different players, so you can take it with you, stick it on your mobile phone or whatever you decide to do with it.
Yeah, correct. And, you know, you convert to VM for Zoom, and as soon as you connect your device, you can, you know, the Media Center offers to copy media to that device. It's very cool.
Yeah.
All one clean solution.
Right, yes, true, yeah. So you can use the built-in synchronization functions in Media Center so that you don't have to leave Media Center at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we want to see, isn't it? More applications that are totally in Media Center, and then you don't have to leave the 10-foot interface, and you know, because a lot of people are using their Media Center boxes as dedicated Media Center devices, and not using them as a desktop PC or anything else. So being have everything under one interface does make sense.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's very, very, very cool. Yeah. Ah, okay. It's one clean solution. So you have also users who actually don't want to bother with all the Windows Phone application. They don't just want to leave the Media Center. They want to do it all from your couch. It's pretty cool to have one solution for this.
And I would imagine then that doing an application like this in previous versions of Media Center HTML applications would have been pretty difficult, or certainly not as rich as this application.
Yeah, sure. I think it's possible to do such an application with HTML as an HTML application, but it would be more difficult. You know, DLL in .NET and to make it available in HTML, and you know, it's not really. It's possible, but it's a lot cleaner and with MCML and C# and as background and object model.
Mm. And the sort of visual editing thing side of it, I guess that would have been almost impossible to do in HTML. Have that sort of transparent overlay.
Yeah, sure.
You mentioned it's a beta application, so it's an application that you're doing ongoing development work.
Yeah, right now I have that cookbook application for the kitchen, and this was really interesting. I was on the on a event in Berlin, but it was all about. It was actually the meeting of MCE community and Microsoft, so this was. All about Media Center, and I've met different system builders from Germany, from Austria, and all those people come together and talk. So I met at NOTAM. They were already selling Media Center PCs built in funeral, so in the kitchen, you know, so they were already selling this. And we talked about the options and how they can benefit from the Media Center platform in the kitchen. I mean, you don't have to, there is no, no rule that you have only to use it in the living room or in the bedroom. You can also use it in the kitchen, and it's very, very cool because, you know, you're cooking and you can benefit from that platform, from the Media Center platform in the kitchen. So we got together and just did some research on how we could use the Media Center in the kitchen. So, and I think a cookbook is the most interesting application in the kitchen. So would be most interesting. And so we just start to develop a first version and then try those, and it worked very well. Now we don't have a public version out, but there will be one pretty soon. So keep an eye on mcedf.com.
That's a really good idea, having a Media Center cookbook on your built-in Media Center PC in the kitchen. And I've got one of my sort of older PCs up in the kitchen, and to have that information available on hand is really good. So where does it get the data from, you know, for all the recipes?
Okay, we have SQL Server 2005 Compact Edition running on the background, which the cookbook application used to it requests the data from this Compact Edition of the SQL Server, which is installed local, and you will have an editor where you can add own recipes into this database, so it will consume those. But there will also be an online library, some kind of online server, which will serve you with new recipes. So one of the most interesting points here is where to get the data from, the content from, the raw recipes. Right now we have an own local SQL server, but we will also have an online recipe server where you can get new recipes from, which will be imported into your local installation of the SQS Server 2005 Compact Edition.
That's a good idea. So you could just sort of have a new recipe of the week on a Saturday afternoon appear on there for your Saturday evening meal.
Yeah, sure. And I think there will also be an option to supply own recipes to those database, so you can share with other people. And I think if you have such an option, it will grow pretty fast. So
That's a good idea.
Yeah, sure.
Yep. So it's kind of a community cooking site, but with a Media Center front end. Because, it's a great idea, because it's great to be able to share the recipes, and then to have a user interface that's sort of applicable to the kitchen is great, especially if you've got this kind of inbuilt Media Center in the kitchen, as you were mentioned before.
Yeah, sure. And there are specific different options and features in the cookbook application. For example, it's not only a cookbook; it's also preparing you. It means that you can select the recipe. You see what ingredients actually I need to cook this meal. And if you connect your Windows Mobile device, you can check which ingredients are missing right now and copy those ingredients as a shopping list on your device automatically. And it's not only the cookbook. Not only the cookbook. It will also prepare you, and also help you after cooking the meal. I mean, you have cooked that, and now you're thinking about, okay, which kind of wine could I serve with this meal? So it will help you also to find out which drinks or which kind of wine you can serve with this meal. So it's not only a cookbook.
Excellent idea. Yeah. So you can be the complete host and the chef and everything else, and all through the power of Media Center.
Yeah, which does also mean that we will more cook. So not only the girlfriend or the wife will cook, so you'll have to play with it in the kitchen and we'll cook. Yeah,
so. That's an excuse to say why you're going to the kitchen to cook a meal, but you're actually going playing on Media Center.
Correct. Yeah, with your new toy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's a great idea, isn't it? Just extending the the media center away from just being for TV and sort of music, but using the 10-foot interface, you know, to other uses. I guess if you had some kind of touchscreen media center PC as well, that'd be even better.
For example, some of the system builds also have peripherals with built-in remote controls. You know, you have the navigation and the OK button and stuff in the peripheral, so you don't have to keep your remote with you. So you have your hands are free and you can actually work with them. So while you're in the kitchen, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess that you could use, you know, voice control, one voice control or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
And with a headset on, getting all the information.
Yeah, sure. I've seen also that One Voice has also an API for developers. Maybe we will get into this. We'll see what the future will bring. Yeah.
I mean, that would be an excellent way to save having to touch the device at all. I guess the proof of an application like this is whether you could get non-media center sort of enthusiasts to use it. So you could get, you know, a chef interested in using it, or you know, or a spouse, a wife, or a girlfriend using it. Well, so it's not just you know, the media center enthusiasts that are going to be using it, but it's going to be a useful application for sort of the general computer users that wouldn't think about having a media center in the kitchen.
Yeah, sure. That's and you know, the whole UI just looks great with all the effects and transparency, and it's really great. You can really benefit from the media center platform and the new technologies like MCML, Windows Media Center presentation layer. It's really great. You can have different effects and how it will present you the meal, and it's really great.
And when do you think you'll have a beta of that available?
We'll see. Right now, actually, there is a version which works. There are different setups already available.
And then, in terms of the availability of the applications, TV Toolbox beta is available of that as we speak. I think, isn't it, version 1.0 as we're doing the recording anyway. And so that's a download available from your site.
Yeah, right now it's available to beta too, and I've already fixed again a lot of bugs and made different changes, like you know, that video segment boxes on the storyboard. I have redesigned them. Right now I'm trying to get the thumbnails, so you have the thumbnails in that video segment boxes, and a lot of changes will come. So keep an eye on it.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I'll include a link to mcdev.com.
Oh, cool.
Listeners can have a look and download the applications. So final, what one question that I wanted to have sort of been talking to developers about is how you can sort of kind of finance the work that you're doing on this, because all the applications that you've got, the certainly the beta ones, are all free downloads. So how do you see in the future being able to sort of to finance your development work? Are you going to be sort of having small charges for them, or is it going to be like OEM deals and things like that?
I have talked about this with different developers, who like Brian Binnerup, and it's not really, if you want to make this your part of your income, you will have to charge. So there's, I guess, no other way. You have to charge the user or the system builder. Different ways are possible. What I want to do with TV Toolbox is to, if it hits final, to charge the users. So you know, you have to pay a little I don't know, 10, 18 or 19 bucks for it, and we'll have all the updates coming after the 1.0 included, so you don't get stuck on that version, so you get still updates and stuff. Also, I have already made a few different deals with OEMs and system builders here in Germany. So for example, TV Toolbox already sold over 1,000 times, so it's going on, so people are really interested. This is also what you see, what I've noticed since Vista is out. The companies are interested in custom developments to separate their own products from others on the market. So in specific applications, if it is the cookbook for Art Notam or TV Toolbox for different system builders, it separates them from other products on the market. So, you know, if you can tell the user that he can actually cut and edit and convert the recordings for, and I know if they pay $15 or $20, they can easily, they can add TV Toolbox to the product, to their actual product, and separate them from the other products available on the market. It's just cheap. So, you know, $15, $20 for such a marketing option is real cheap,
it,
I guess.
It does add value to the platform there, so it's not just a PVR or a DVR. It's also an editor, and you can do recipes, and you've got your music, and it, I think it all adds to it, and yeah, I think it's great that developers like you are really adding to the functionality of Media Center that, you know, you've got your baseline functions from Microsoft, and then you've got third-party developers like you that are really adding to that functionality and taking sort of Media Center to be much more useful than things like Customizer, you know, just so you can tailor it exactly to how you want it, and then you can really sort of get the most out of the investment that you've got, you've put in Media Center.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I mean, it's, like I said, they are great applications, and there's downloads to all the applications we've talked about on your website, so I'll make sure I include a link for that. And it's been great talking to you, and I really do look forward to seeing how you progress with your applications, and we'll have to get you back on in a later date to talk about some of the other stuff that you're working on.
Sure, thanks.
Well, it's been great to talk to you today, so many thanks for your time.
Yeah, sure, thanks to you. Thank
you. Okay, that's it for this week's show. You can find links to all the items discussed, MC Dev and the other items in the show notes on thedigitallifestyle.com. Please keep your emails coming in, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I'll see you around on the forums. See you next week. Bye. We'll be right back.